How's it, everyone? Welcome to yet another episode of The Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle, and I feel very privileged that you chose to spend this time with me. Now, last week, we spent a lot of time talking about secrets and relationships and how they impact one another. This week, I want to rewind the clock entirely to when we go on a first date, meeting someone new for the first time. But not just meeting them, but when you have certain things in your life, for instance, a date and medical illnesses, and you want to communicate it with them, but it is a very heavy subject to communicate. But yet, it is very important. We understand that for relationships really to work in the long run, early honesty is very important. But now we usually have this thing of, when do I tell the person everything that I struggle with or some things that I really use in my life? Because let's face it, we sometimes feel we are not worthy to go on a date because we have certain issues in our lives or challenges. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about specifically health issues, because it's very important, and also dates. But we're going to talk about it and see how can we communicate it in such a way so that we don't scare off the person, but we can tell them in a calm way that, hey, I'm in control of those challenges and I'm worthy to be a partner despite of my challenges. You see, many times we go into a date and we think, yeah, but you know what, I have this financial thing that I need to work on. This person wouldn't like me because they would see me as a liability. You know, don't think like that. It's something in your life and you are working on it. So don't disqualify yourself before you go into a date. No, even though it's very real in your life, it doesn't define who you are or disqualify you. Don't view your financial debt or your health as a baggage that you drag into the date, because that is not true. It isn't embarrassing to have these things, and you have no reason to hide it away. In the world of clinical psychology and relationship science, taking active care of your health is your money is actually an ultimate sign of self-respect, emotional maturity, and personal agency. So you look after yourself. It's a good thing. It doesn't disqualify you. Don't see it as a bad thing. It means you are actively taking care of yourself and your situation. And that obviously shows true maturity. And that is not something that you need to apologize for. But when we hide these things during the early stages of dating, we accidentally send a really toxic message to our own subconscious. We tell ourselves that our daily reality is something to be ashamed of. We buy into the stigma before our date even has the chance to speak. You don't give them their opportunity because you decide for them. We assume judgment before we even give them the opportunity to show who they are, their maturity. It turns out the data actually completely back this up when we talk about research. There's a landmark analysis from relationships scientists at the University of Utah. They tracked how people share information in hundreds of developing relationships. They found that in individuals who practice honest, structured self-disclosure early on in dating process actually experience a higher rate of relationship stability, deeper emotional compatibility, and vastly superior personal well-being down the road. They aren't carrying the heavy weight of a hidden identity. So why does this happen? Because transparency acts like a natural structural filter. It saves you from the exhausting anxiety-inducing game of performance. In modern dating, we almost always send our representatives of ourselves to those first few dates. You know what I mean? The airbrushed, the flawless, completely unbothered version of ourselves. We act like our finances is effortless, our lifestyle is luxury, and our health is completely perfect without any effort. But keeping the mask up takes a massive amount of mental energy and cognitive load. It builds a foundation of mirror. Oh, not mirror, but minor. It builds a foundation of minor passive deception that you eventually have to maintain. When you choose to own your story, instead you get your psychological power back. You show your life not as a chaotic mess of crisis, but as a well-managed, highly disciplined journey. You signal to the other person that you take your life seriously, and that immediately sets a clear, non-negotiable standard for how they need to treat you. This brings us to the core dilemma that keeps so many of us up at night. How and when do we actually take the risk to share these deeply personal things? Let's look at the internal psychology of taking that risk. To step out into the ledge of vulnerability without panicking, you need to completely flip your mindset. Stop sitting across from your date asking yourself, you know what, are they going to judge me because of what I have to say? Or will they run away when they find out I take medication or I have dead wolves who just head for the door? That is a low-power, approval-seeking position. It assumes that you are flawed and they are perfect. Instead, adopt a high-agency evaluative question. rather ask, is this person mature enough, grounded enough, and kind enough to hold space for my reality of my life? If someone lacks the emotional maturity to handle the fact that you track your budget, take care of your physical body, they are fundamentally unequipped to build a real life with you anyway. Their negative reaction isn't a reflection of your worth. It's just a reflection of their own limitations. But guys, you also need to understand, you don't have to tell them everything right on the first date. If a first date goes well and you haven't told them, wait until the second or third date to tell them these things. You don't need to lay all your cards on the table. Remember, you are there to see if there's any chemistry between you two. Do you really like each other's company? And then that's when the golden window will present itself through the conversation and when you can talk about your challenges. It's really around, like I said, in the first few days, when you both know the chemistry is real and the liking is mutual, but your heart isn't fully on the line yet because there's no commitment yet. You are safe enough to speak your mind, but detached enough to walk away if it doesn't work out. It gives you a space to be honest without being desperate, and that is where true relational confidence is born. Now that we understand the power of owning our story and how we've pinpointed that exact window, we have to look at the mechanics of the delivery of what we want to tell them. And this is very important. See, how do we take these important real-life topics and bring them to them with a fresh, exciting conversation without completely killing the romantic vibe? This is where the concept of a gentle delivery comes in for absolute superpower. And let's be totally honest, communicating gently isn't about watering down your truth, minimizing your challenges, or tricking the other person. Not at all. It's not about using corporate intelligent words to make your life sound prettier than it is, you know, to get by. It's not about overcomplicating it. It's just the advanced practice of emotional pacing and keeping your nervous system regulated so that the other person can actually hear what you are saying. So see where we start. We start with our nervous system. See, if we are nervous about telling them what we want to tell them, we're going to make them nervous as well, because people pick things up. See, if we are tense in the first few minutes of a date, we are also hyper-vigilant and we notice stuff. And there are people who are very tuned into these things. And then when I pick up that you are uncomfortable and you are nervous, that automatically makes them nervous as well. And then they start asking questions as to what's really going on here. what is happening? Why is this person not telling me? And then they might create a space between you. And we don't want that. We actually want to get closer to them. We want to relax and have fun and talk about things. So remember that. Look at your own nervous system. It's fine to just be nervous about a date. Obviously, you're meeting someone new, but I'm talking about nervous in a sense when you want to communicate something heavy, like an illness you might have, or a depth you want to share with them, just to level the ground. People do get that feeling. See, on the first or second date, your nervous system is working overtime, like I said. Because you are hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware, scanning the other person. Just like the other person can sense that you are nervous, you can also sense it from them. And you don't really get comfortable. And also a very thing, interesting thing to note is your tone of voice. Is your tone of voice relaxed? Is it tensed? Because you're thinking about a thought and you don't know how to communicate it, but that thought makes your voice tense. And then you give away everything before you even started with a word. So let's look at that as well. When you share information about your depth or your daily health management with a very, very intense, deeply defensive tone, you accidentally hijack the whole conversation because you made it heavy. Don't make it too heavy, please. You only been on this date for once or twice. Don't make it too heavy. Because remember, we want to send a clear invitation to the person to come back to another cup of coffee with you, to spend some time with you. They must really enjoy your conversation. But if you go ahead and make it heavy with your voice, your tone, or your nervous system, they are going to say, you know what, this person is not for me, and that is not our goal. Our goal is to get someone to be relaxed in our conversations. Now, do you remember we spoke a lot on this podcast about the alarm system within our brains? And that is where we get the fight or flight feeling, right? Now, when we are not relaxed and we are tensed up, we activate, it's actually a false activation in their brain that they really need to fight or flight, meaning they have to stay in the conversation or they choose not to continue of the conversation. So people then send these secret WhatsApps saying, please call me and say there's an emergency at home. Or they make up an excuse like, oh, you know what, I never gave the dog water. Or I didn't water the plants. Something silly. But it is their system, their alarm system, then tells them that they need to get away. And so they cut the day short. But it is not always them. It is what we give them that make them want to leave. And like I said, we don't want to, that is not our goal. Our goal is to keep them in our conversation. And by doing that, we need to be relaxed. We need to be relaxed and really talk with ease. We also have to look at the huge psychological difference between an invitation and an ultimatum. When we are terrified of being rejected for our flaws, we often put our defensive armor on. We enter the conversation with a rigid attitude. We present our reality like an ultimatum, with a subtextual energy that says, "Look, I have a ton of debt. I have to take a lot of medication every day to stay functional. It's who I am. Deal with it or leave right now." We think we are protecting ourselves by striking first, by putting it all on the table. But we're actually just building walls before the relationship even had a chance to start. While that might feel like strength or empowerment in your head, in reality, it's just a trauma response. An ultimatum feels like an emotional attack. It forces the other person to immediately put up the guard, close off their empathy, and enter the defensive posture. It leaves absolutely no room for curiosity, warmth, or mutual understanding. It forces them to make a snap decision before they even have a chance to get to know you. The opposite of that is a gentle delivery. On the other hand, works like an emotional invitation. When you talk about your health routine or your financial journey with calm, light, matter-of-fact tone, you are sending a beautiful subtextual signal that says, "This is a normal, stable, well-managed part of my life. I am entirely at peace with it. And because I like you and value your transparency, I'm inviting you to know this part of my world." By keeping your own nervous system regulated, like we said earlier, you give them permission to keep their nervous system calm as well. You disarm their judgment before it can even form, allowing them to see your challenges for what they truly are. And that is evidence of your immense resilience, your clarity, and your maturity. You show them you are someone who actively solves problems rather than running away from them. Most importantly, mastering a gentle delivery is the ultimate form of self-protection. When you share deeply personal aspects of your life, you are exposing a piece of your inner world. If you throw the information out with high emotional intensity, you leave yourself completely exposed. If the other person responds poorly, the rejection hits you like a psychological blow because you poured so much heavy emotional weight into the disclosure. You leave the date feeling emotionally hangover, like it was too much. It was overexposed and deeply wounded, promising yourself that you will never ever open up to someone again. And this is something that we're going to talk about in another podcast, of never opening up to someone again. But when you deliver the information gently, calmly, lightly, you create a beautiful emotional buffer for yourself. you are essentially tossing out a small, well-packed piece of information and stepping back to objectivity, observe how they catch it. Because now you need to understand. You need to also see how they react to your what you're going to tell them or what you told them. You need to see how mature they are and can they understand it. It's a very important key. Because you get to watch their expressions. You listen to their response and evaluate their level of empathy from a position of absolute safety. You are testing the waters instead of diving headfirst into an unknown emotional ocean. Now let's bring the entire framework to life and look at how it actually plays out in a real world. Now imagine the conversational architecture of a great first date where two people genuinely like each other, the chemistry is crackling, and these important life realities are integrated seamlessly. Instead of relying on pre-written robotic scripts that feel completely faked and rehearsed, we want to look at a date as a natural progression of energy moving fluidly through three distinct psychological phases. Now, this isn't about manipulating a conversation. It's about honoring the natural rhythm of human connection. When you sit down with someone new, you aren't trying to force a confession. You are trying to see if your lives fit well together. So the date begins, you meet up, and initially the sparks fly. This first phase is dedicated entirely to establishing mutual liking and biological safety. Writing for the Psychology Today, clinical experts note that human interaction relies heavily on initial nonverbal cues, shared laughter, and low-stakes bonding. Research found from the University of the Australian National University confirms that initial romantic attraction triggers an immediate neural connection, release a potent cocktail of dopamine and oxytocin within a fraction of a second. This chemical cascade creates that exciting, fuzzy feeling we all call chemistry. But it also makes the system hyper-aware. Remember what we said earlier, how aware we are when we meet someone new? We are reading their tone, their smile, and how they handle the environment around them. Now, in the first 45 minutes, your only job is to let those chemicals do their work. You are engaging in light, playful, curious conversation. You're talking about your favorite travel destinations, disasters, your weird workplace stories, your hobbies, and music. But why? Because you are establishing what relationship experts call limbic resonance, a state of profound emotional and psychological safety where your nervous system sync up and realize that the other person is safe to be around. You are establishing a warmth, verifying their physical preference, and building a shared baseline of joy. It's about finding out if you can just share space and laugh together without any pressure. You must not bring up debt and doctor's medication during this opening phase. If you attempt to drop a heavy life data into the conversation while the other person is still trying to figure out if you have a good energy and if they feel comfortable looking you in the eye, it completely shatters the delicate process of building attraction. It forces a brand new connection to bear a weight it isn't strong enough to hold yet. You must build the bridge of a mutual liking before you attempt to carry heavy truth across the bridge. Let the connection breathe first. Let the laughter happen and let the safety lock in first. If you don't build that foundation of liking, any deep truth you share later won't have a safe place to land. And then we have phase two. As the date progresses, the conversation naturally shifts. You've laughed, you've connected, you've established that the vibe is real. And now the menu arrives. A bill needs to be settled. You start talking about your long-term dreams, career ambitions, and the future life goals you have for yourself. This is your natural, organic pivot point into your financial reality. In a column for Psychology Today, behavioral economist Dr. Max Alberski explained that financial infidelity, which includes actively hiding debt and financial constraints, is constantly rating by couples as the number one financial deal breaker in a long-term relationship. But listen, let's go on. People can handle financial struggles, but they cannot handle deception. They want to know they can trust your word when things get real. Furthermore, extensive research published by the American Psychological Association reveals that over 30% of relationships that end cite acute financial stress and poor communication about money as the primary cause of the breakup. The anxiety we feel around money in dating isn't actually about the amount of value of the money. It's about our fear of judgment, deception, and a lack of personal discipline. That's what really gets us as humans. When someone hears you have debt, their subconscious isn't just looking at a number. It's wondering if you are reckless or are you responsible. They are trying to figure out your financial past and if your financial part will hijack their future. So in other words, they worry that your financial debt might ruin their future. Because let's face it, people are not always honest. But if you can say, hey, yes, I do have these debts, And but I'm working on it, then they feel safe and they feel that I can trust you at least. Many people have gone into ruins because the partners were not honest. And this is what I'm talking about here. If they knew it up front and you were honest about it, but you can say or you can show that you are managing their debt, at least they know they can trust you. So when the topic of future lifestyle preferences, travel plans, or weekend routines naturally arise, you don't shrink back or hide the menu or sweat when the bill comes. You show deep maturity by bringing your reality into the light with a gentle, confidently, and entirely without apology. You lean over your coffee, maintain eye contact, and seamlessly wave it into the conversation. And I've wrote something down that I want to read to you. You can honestly say something like this. I've been putting a lot of energy into my long-term goals lately. Right now, I am in a phase where I'm actively paying off some debt, which means I'm being very intentional and disciplined about my lifestyle spending. But I absolutely love finding great creative local spots like this one where I can keep moving forward towards my goals. So is it possible to stay positive about the situation and stay in control of the situation? Let's quickly look at what I just read. The psychological mechanics of this statement goes like this. You didn't apologize for having debt. You admitted it. You didn't give a tragic, a long hour back history about past financial mistakes or an ex-partner who ruined your credit, like I said. You didn't treat it like a dark, dirty secret by framing your financial boundaries through the explicit lens of long-term vision, personal ambition, and intense discipline. You completely control the narrative. You transform the data point from I have a financial problem to I am responsible, high-value adult who is actively taking charge of my destiny. That is an incredible, attractive quality that commands immediate respect. And isn't that what we want in a date? We want someone to respect us, even though we have our challenges. You are showing them that you value your own future more than short-term status, and that you have a plan to get exactly where you want to be. So you lay down all your cards on the table. You shared your commitment to clearing your financial debt, and you've calmly mentioned your daily health routine with your doctors and medication. Because also, medication can be just as heavy, or more specifically, your health can be just as heavy as your debt, right? Now comes the most empowering part of the entire framework. You get to sit back, take a sip of your coffee, and read their reactions. Remember, you are no longer the one being tested here. Because they are. You are looking to see if their emotional maturity matches yours. And this is very, very important. So let's talk about what a massive green flag looks like in this moment. A mature, high-valued partner is going to cast your information with total ease. They might say something like, wow, that's incredibly responsible of you. And I love the way you tackle your challenges, either debt or health. Or they might just nod with respect and say, thanks for being open with me. Taking care of your health is so important. So they acknowledge it. They don't make it weird. They don't shift uncomfortably and don't try to change the subject out of awkwardness. Instead, they validate your discipline. In fact, seeing your strength often gives them the safety to drop their own mask. They might reply by opening up about their own life goals or routines. That is a true green flag. It shows high emotional intelligence and proves that they can hold space for a real, authentic relationship. And then on the flip side, you have to be ready to spot the red flags. If they react with a subtle judgment or they try to minimize your goals by saying things like, oh, come on, you only live once, let's blow your budget tonight. That is a major warning sign. It shows you they don't respect your boundaries or your long-term vision. Or maybe they get very uncomfortable when you mention managing your health with medication, shifting in the seat or making a clumsy, insensitive joke to brush it off. You know, especially when it comes to mental health, people think when you're in this conversation and you're talking about health and you say something like, I have depression or bipolar, then they automatically think you are a crazy person and they will get hurt. And many times people then try to justify their health. But it's not about justifying their health. It's about saying, hey, I'm in control, not your thoughts. Because what they're thinking is not the truth. What you are experiencing and what you know to be the truth, that is the fact that you need to stand on. You don't have to play and show them that you're different if you have one of those illnesses. You need to say, hey, I'm in control of my health. But when people say, you know what, no, I can't handle this, you are too much for me, you know what, just draw a line, shake their hand, and say to them, okay, you know what, it's totally fine. You can leave, because clearly you have a different idea of me, and they don't give you the light of day to explain how in control you are. Because remember, the stigma around mental health is also quite huge, and they rather believe the stigma than the facts sitting in front of you. See, at the end of the day, navigating early dating while managing your health and your finances takes a lot of mental clarity and energy. It's a balancing act. And speaking of keeping your life and your mind moving forward in perfect alignment, I want to take a quick second to tell you guys about what I do for people in my practice. Yes, I am a counselor. And many times, I've spoken to people who would come sit across from me, and they said that they have a need to date and have someone in their life. But they have a very real thing in their life presently that keeps them back, like debt or like health. And then I tell them, no, let's talk about it. Let's get you attached from the problem so that you can see you are a person and you have a problem. And in the counseling practice, we talk about the problem and we strategize how we're going to tackle the problem so that it doesn't overwhelm you or the date you go on. In my counseling practice, we also work on confidence. How we can build up confidence within ourselves to stand up, get pretty up, and go out and say, but I can be my own person despite my challenges. And I want you to invite you to please come and talk to me. My name is Dion Bicycle, and you can actually go to my website, dionbicycle.co.za, or you can leave me a message on Facebook. But on the site, there is a space where you can leave your name and contact details, and I will come back to you personally. You don't have to go through this alone. It is not necessary. So let's conclude on this episode today. I want you to remember one core truth. Radical honesty in early dating is not about lying bare every trauma or crisis you've ever faced on one night. It is about quiet confidence. It's about having the self-respect to show up as a whole person, a real human being who is actively managing their life. When you speak calmly about your debt clearing journey or your daily medication and health routines, you are redefining what strength looks like. You are moving away from impression management and stepping into authentic connections. Don't wait until you've fallen for someone to find out if they have the maturity to handle your reality. Take the risk early, right in the sweet spot where the mutual liking is there, but your heart is still protected. Use the gentle delivery to keep the energy light, stable, and invited. Let your truth act as the ultimate structural filter for your life. The right person won't look at your financial discipline or your healthcare routines as a liability. They will look at it and see a reliable, grounded partner who knows exactly what they are and who they are, and also where they are going. And I also just want to say, you don't need to always talk about everything's right in the first date. Let the first date flow. Enjoy the conversation. And if it comes up, handle it. Maybe you can only start talking about it in the second or third date, but don't wait a year from the first date to talk. That is not a clever idea. We need to be honest, like I said. So guys, thank you so much for sitting down and sharing this cup of coffee with me today here on The Balanced Mind. Keep on owning your story. Keep protecting your peace and keep holding your standards high. Until next week, catch you guys later and peace out. And remember, to keep your balance, you must keep moving.